Well, welcome back. If I can introduce myself, first of all, my name's Phil. I'm also one of the leaders here. It's my privilege to be able to speak on the art of community, week five, which is great. Just want to say a particular hi to those of you who are joining us from Shoreham, Hove and Racecourse sites. Trust that what I have to say this morning is of benefit to us all. Now, if you haven't seen me for a while from those sites, yes, I have lost some weight. I haven't disappeared. But just want, if you haven't seen me for a while, then yes, I have lost 6 stone. But there you go. But don't worry. I've not got some kind of illness or anything. I've just lost some weight. So I'm going to be speaking this morning from the series, 6-part series, The Art of Community on the 3 M's, so message, mission, and multiplication. I'm going to be speaking on the subject this morning of multiplication, but before I do that, I thought I'd recap over the last couple of weeks. If you remember, we spoke on mission, and we spoke on particularly the area of bless as a principle. Anybody remember what BLESS stands for? B is for begin with prayer. L is for listen. E is for eat. Who likes to eat here? Great. S is for serve. And S is for fantastic. Give yourselves a round of applause. Well done. Okay. Now, I'm going to be speaking on multiplication here this morning. Just a little bit about me, by the way. I did take God's word seriously to go into all the earth and multiply. If you don't know much about me and my wife Mel, we've got 5 children, Madison, Molly, Hudson, India, and Levi. And I thought I'd start on this area of multiplication because it's very close to my heart, because I became a Christian through CCK. I've gone to no other church at all. So for me, this message is really kind of homegrown stuff. It's important for you to know that. So I was saved at CCK. My life has been transformed. It's out of knowing the person of Jesus that I want to see multiplication happen in this great city. I'd love to see many, many people come to know Jesus. For our larger gatherings here on a Sunday morning and evening across the relevant sites, and in our small group life, our midweek communities to be thriving and to grow exponentially with multiplication, ultimately because my heart is to want to see Jesus' name glorified and people come to know him. And did you know this morning it is great to know Jesus personally in your life? The effect on my life has been incredible. It's important for you to know that. Because if you knew the background of my story, you would know that I've come from no kind of Christian background. My friends or family weren't Christians. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My only connection was with Christianity was Robert Powell and Jesus of Nazareth every Easter. That was kind of it. And, you know, I worked at Lloyds TSB for 17 years, training consultancy firm for 3, filled my life with so many things, and yet there was still this deep feeling of emptiness. And even when I did achieve the dreams and aspirations of my life, I was still empty. I don't know if you can relate to that. Maybe that's why you're here with us. You know, a little bit like that song, I didn't know I was lost until after a broken relationship. You know, I kind of spiraled a little bit out of control, turned to drink, alcohol, star signs, astrology, just desperate to know what my future would be. And it's amazing, isn't it, that when something so severe happens in your life, it's at that point you start to question what life is all about. And I know in a recent BBC survey, they talked about that. They talked about that it's at that point that when we have a broken relationship or a family member dies or something really hurts us deep inside, it gets us to question. And we even start to pray to a God that we don't even know. We don't even recognize. For me, it was in a nightclub one Friday night down West Street, the worst for wear. And that connection with Robert Powell, Jesus of Nazareth, was the only thing I could cling on to. So I prayed effectively to Robert Powell. Can you believe that? I said, Jesus, if you're real, help me. I need you. All right? And then much to my amazement, he did. He sent some people into my life from CCK. they invited me here, and all I can say is that over several weeks of hearing the reality that the Son of God, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins, rose again so that I could be forgiven, that I could have a relationship with God, it's at that point I made a decision to respond to Jesus' call to follow him as my Lord and Savior, and my life has never been the same since. I want to say to you, if you're thinking about making Jesus your Lord and Savior and come following him, I want to tell you, I think it is the best thing that you could possibly do. I mean, the stuff that I've had as a result, you know, my wife, my family, but more, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of the things he puts in your heart, acceptance from God, the love of God, friendship, family, community that I've been brought into. I was used to the nightclubbing lifestyle where no one was really interested in you, and I wasn't really interested in them. We're all out to get whatever we could from each other. For the first time coming along here, having heard the good news of Jesus, being brought into a community, I thought, wow, these people are genuine. They care. They love me. And they accept me just as I am. And they wanted to see me grow and change as well. I want to tell you this morning, there has been significant people in my life who has been mighty and shaping me to be the man that I believe that God wants me to be and others. And I believe he wants to do the same with all of us. I really hope I'm communicating. I really want you to be encouraged and blessed by what I bring this morning. That is my heart. So I want to say this morning that if Jesus can save someone like me with my background, I reckon he can save anyone in this great city. And boy, does this city need saving. They reckon that about 97% of Brightonians are not genuine Christ followers. They don't know Jesus personally. And in a recent report that was from The Guardian, it reported that Brighton and Alan Partridge territory, Norwich of all places, were the atheist hotspots in the UK. So we can look at that report from The Guardian, we can look at the 97% out there in Brighton that don't know Jesus personally, you can think, wow, this is a big ask for us to want to see other people come to know this Jesus personally in an exponential way. However, I've got some word of encouragement for you, because Tim Keller, who spoke recently, he kind of did a survey. Obviously, he's based in New York, a tremendous cultural speaker and leader of a big church in New York. He regards, obviously, places like Brighton, not on the same scale, as very similar culturally to somewhere like a New York. And he reckoned that if 9% of places like Brighton can become genuine Christ followers, seeing Jesus in all his glory and just follow him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, then 9%, that would be the tipping point that would influence the whole city culturally for Jesus. But in order to see that 9% one for Jesus, we need hundreds. Let's make no mistake of 3M's type leaders. And I just want to say to you this morning, if you are called and saved by Jesus, then you are a leader in the making, regardless of your background. Jesus sees in you a leader. If you're called and saved, you can't mean me, Phil, can you? I'm kind of introverted. I haven't got the gifting. I haven't got the skill set. I've not got the gift of the gab, the communication skills. No, that's the point. If you're called and saved by Jesus, he sees in every person in this room a leader in the making, regardless of your background. And of course, we see that Jesus here in the Gospels called and saved lots of different people from all sorts of backgrounds and saw in them leader and said, come follow me. So, you know, you see from people like outcasts who were tax collectors and everyday fishermen as well. You remember in Luke's Gospel, then Jesus is using that same parallel, really, with Simon Peter and with Andrew. So Jesus said to Simon and to Peter and Andrew, go and cast out your nets for a catch. And Peter said, but we've kind of been working hard all night, Jesus, and we're discouraged. We just want to go home right now. But because you say so, we'll do it. Okay, we'll give it a go. And you know what? Jesus said, cast out the nets. And they caught the most tremendous catch of fish that they have ever seen. So much so that Peter and Andrew had to call the whole community in order to bring in the fish that Jesus had helped them catch. And do you know what Jesus said? He said to Peter and Andrew, from now on, you will catch men. In an equivalent passage, in Matthew 4:19, just to ram that point home, Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, just as I have called and saved you, you're going to be doing the same thing. Out of flowing, out of a relationship with me. If you are called and saved by Jesus, first and foremost is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength because of what Jesus has done. He's died for our sins and was buried on the third day, rose again from the dead. It's out of worship to him. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. Second call for us out of a relationship with God is to catch men. But I tell you this, it's a huge I see in you moment to the disciples, isn't it? You know, follow me. I see a leader in the making in you. If you follow me, you're going to do the most incredible things for me. Supernatural, mind-blowing. First and foremost, though, you're going to catch men. But the stuff I'm going to do to help you to do that, with me empowering you, is going to be mind-boggling, mind-blowing. Can you imagine the kind of encouragement that they would have received at that moment, the I see a new moment now? Just to change the subject quickly. Okay, I do a few times a week a spinning class, a group cycle class. Anybody else do that here? No, just me. Okay, that's all right. That's okay. When I've got right, the instructor and a whole load of people there, and we're kind of spinning away, and the instructor calls out your name personally in front of a whole class and says, Phil, you're doing brilliantly. Keep going. Can't believe how well you're doing. All right? It's amazing. It's so encouraging to be called out like that, chosen by name. Here we've got the Son of God, the mighty one from heaven saying, I have called and chosen you for purpose, and your main calling is to be fishers of men. Can you imagine that? I see a new moment. It's incredible. You know, before I became a Christian, I've explained to you what happened to me. But after I became a Christian, I went along to what would be the equivalent now of the Holy Spirit afternoon. Alan Preston was there, one of the leaders here. And Alan Preston, in his own inimitable style, said to me, Phil, this would be true, by the way, you have had so little with the Holy Spirit. He won't remember me saying that, him saying that, but that's what he said. And at that moment, I was flooded and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then another guy that was on that afternoon was a guy by the name of Mike Springer. I don't know if you recognize this guy on screen, but he turned around and said to me, Phil, after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the same event, he said, Phil, I see in you an evangelist. That's what I see, the type of person that loves to go out and tell other people about Jesus. Now, I didn't understand what the term evangelist meant. It was an I see in you moment. All I knew is that back at Lloyd's TSB, after I became a Christian here at CCK, I loved to tell people about Jesus. I quickly got nicknamed Phil the Baptist at work. And I put, guys, you're going to laugh at this. I was terrible at telling people about Jesus. It was kind of like thunder, thunder, thunder all the time, but love, love, love as well. And I used to put notes in my manager's in tray saying John 3:16, how God loved you. And my manager hauled me into the office and said to me, Phil, you do this again and you're under a written warning. You know, I know this stuff about Jesus is taking off, but this is going way too far. Woo, okay. So what Mike said to me is, Phil, I think you need training. I think you need some training. What I want you to be is fat. Now, I took him literally as well and became very fat. But what he meant was faithful, available, and teachable. No, there are others in this room that talk about that. So what I did was I learned about there's an ICU in this moment, but there's a come, follow Jesus at the same time. There's a teachability that needs to be, which means sometimes we've got to let go of our pride. And sometimes following a leader is hard because they're going to speak into your life and it's going to be painful. Yeah, the amount of times I've been hurt, but it's done me good. You know, I wouldn't be the man unless God had done some stuff through leaders and said, Phil, you're rubbish at evangelism. Don't care if you've been called an evangelist. You need to sort it out. Now, but it wasn't just that. It was, come and watch what I do. Come and look at me. And Mike used to do that. We used to go on car journeys together. He used to take me out and demonstrate to me how to communicate the gospel in a loving way, drawing men and women to Christ, the foot of the cross, the resurrection of Jesus, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I watched him pray for the sick and people literally in front of my eyes get healed. I was stunned and amazed. And then occasionally he would get me up to speak, maybe my testimony, and I would help out. And then on the journey home, we'd debrief and we'd feedback what went well. He'd even ask me, Phil, what did you think I do well? You know, the guy that preached the gospel, so there was a vulnerability with him as well. And then I asked him, well, what could I have done better with my testimony? We become great friends. You know, it's kind of an I see a new moment. I just want to say to you, now I've said this publicly on stage a while back, I want to say again, it's important when you come to leaders and they're your heroes, right? They're the ones that you look to for leadership and growth in your life. You need them, you really do. But you can't mimic them. Mimicking them is not good. I just want to say that I've gone down that route from someone actually becoming a hero to actually mimicking them at the same time, and it's not good. I've gone from lots of different evangelists. Mike would be one. J. John and his jokes. Right the way through to copying people like, I don't know, Adrian Holloway, Tim Keller, Rambabu, and who kind of speaks a bit louder than me, and it's the kind of not really me, do you know what I mean? And Joel Virgo, and all these guys, and you know, you can look at that and you think, he's a bit fake, isn't he? And you'd be right. You've got to be yourself. So I want to say, yes, we want to be faithful, available, and teachable at the same time, but we've got to find what God has called you to do and to be the person that God has called you to be as well. So hold on a minute. Jesus speaks words of tremendous affirmation, destiny. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But Jesus also promises that he'll never leave us to get on with the task of fishing for men on our own. He promises here by saying, follow me, that I will train you. You need to be faithful, available, and teachable in your response, but I will train you and I will empower you to do the very things that you have seen me do as well. So we see Matthew 5, verse 1 to 15. Jesus sends out the 12 disciples in twos, I'll reference that a little bit later, under his authority. And he says, look, go and do what I've been doing. Pray for the sick. Preach the good news of the kingdom of God. Cast out demons. And you know that they did all of that and more, came back, debriefed, fed back with Jesus in a huddle again. But the Holy Spirit had not been given at that point. They were to go out under the authority of Jesus. You see, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit means that they could impact the whole world through the Holy Spirit's ministry. You see, following Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem, that there is there that they would receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now we see in Acts, following that promise from Jesus, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Incredibly so. And the whole of Acts is characterized by the early disciples going out under the power and flooding of the Holy Spirit, preaching the good news, signs and wonders following, the early church literally exploded. It exploded. It was like a spirit-led, spirit-filled community all moving in the same direction that would impact the entire world. And I do believe that signs and wonders were critical back then, accompanying the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and they are the same today as well. And remarkably, just as a kind of caveat, just to build a bit of faith, I want to share a couple of illustrations for you. We have seen some tremendous healings here across our different sites as well. Just recently, over several months or just recently, Liz, here we go, here's the picture. Liz, top left, from the Hove site, cancer of the esophagus. Pray for in the name of Jesus, cancer gone. Now looks after her elderly mum. Who else have we got? We got Mel from the racecourse site. Breast cancer, pray for in the name of Jesus. Cancer gone, now happily married. Ted Toll, racecourse site. Throat cancer, just recently, over recent months. Pray for in the name of Jesus. Throat cancer gone, completely healed. Friends and family stunned and amazed. Natalie, there, little Natalie from this site, came in on a Sunday morning meeting here, suspected fractured foot, pray for in the name of Jesus, came in on crutches, went out without crutches, fractured foot, completely healed, dad stunned and amazed. Tim, bottom right, long time in this site again, long time depression, and pray for in the name of Jesus, completely healed. Don't you think that's amazing? We're right to celebrate it. We're absolutely right to celebrate it because it's in the authority and the name of Jesus that brings the healing. And for these things to be happening today is mind-blowing. And maybe you're here for the first time and you're thinking, well, what's going on there? And you've got questions. We'd love to chat with you at the end. Happy to help. Just imagine for a minute. Imagine, just for 1 minute, a spirit-led, spirit-filled community all moving in the same direction, wanting to see these three M's, message and mission, exponentially grow our church and our midweek groups with signs and wonders following. You know, we could be the size of like our Sunday gatherings and our midweek small groups, the kind of exponential growth that they saw in the book of Acts, all moving together in the same direction. Did you know that studies show that geese fly 70% faster if they fly together in a V-shaped formation. And if that principle kind of doesn't ring true for you, you know the Tour de France and the Peloton formation, it's exactly the same principle in that. These guys grouped together go much faster together if they're on a movement, the same movement working together. The same thing applies. Imagine a spirit-led, spirit-filled community all moving in the same direction, V-shape, Peloton direction, message of Jesus, mission of Jesus, wanting to see our 3M small groups flooded and filled with the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders following. Well, five sites here in Brighton, five European cities, who knows, this could be the makings of a movement here, right? But it has to be a spirit-filled, spirit-led community where we're all traveling and moving in the same direction. Oh, but I've got this project over here. Maybe Jesus is saying, oh, maybe it's time to let go of that project over here. You've been flying on your own for so long. Get into the V-shape. Let's start moving together 70% faster than if we were trying to fly on our own. You know, some people say to me, do you know what, Phil, that's the book of Acts. Yeah, they kind of saw that kind of exponential growth. But we don't see that kind of exponential growth, do we now, really, if you're honest? Or can we possibly even hope for that? I don't know if you've read the recent book written by the Ferguson brothers called Exponential. I'll plug it a little bit later on. But in there, they cited that there was a very comprehensive study. And experts say that over a 350-year from the birth of the early church for 350 years later from when the church started, their church grew by no more than 3% per year. I'm thinking, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. What, are you telling me that that exponential growth to the ends of the earth, 350 years, studies reckons it was just 3% per year? Yeah, that's exactly what they're saying. Hold on a minute. 9%, it was 97% of people won for Jesus. Now it's 9% that would influence the whole city for Jesus. Okay, the tipping point, do you remember that? And now what I'm saying is 3% per year exponential growth, we can see Acts-type stuff happening here in Brighton. Do you believe for that? We can believe for that. We're in faith for it. Of course we are. God could do something like that. Now, I mentioned earlier, if we're going to see that kind of growth, then I do believe that we need an exponential multiplication of 3M's leaders, particularly small group leaders, 3M's type leaders. And some would say in this room, having heard everything that I've said so far today, you'd be saying, that's not me. There's no way I could do that. I'm too introverted. I'm not an extrovert, because really, kind of small group leaders, that's for extroverted people, isn't it? I'm kind of an introvert. You kind of knew my social background, it wouldn't work for me, and all that kind of stuff. Or you knew, my educational history. It may be not that great, whatever it might be. But interestingly, as a guy by the name of Joel Comiskey, who's a leading authority, it's mentioned here in the Exponential book as well, he did a leading study across loads of kind of different churches. And they highlighted what made the most successful small group leaders, 3M's type small group leaders. And you know what? It had nothing to do with their gifting, their level of anointing. It had nothing to do whether they were an extroverted personality. It had nothing to do with their education or social background. Are you hearing that? That means no one is excluded here. It had absolutely nothing to do with that at all. But he lists five things that made the most successful small group leaders, 3M's type small group leaders. And do you know what the first one was? It's prayer, the prayer life of a leader. Do you know what that says to me? That says to me, just like was mentioned earlier on, I can't do this Jesus thing. I can't be a leader unless I'm empowered and helped with the Holy Spirit. I can't do it on my own. In other words, this is not a dependence on ourselves, it's a dependence on Him. It's a dependence on the need and empowerment for the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing that? This isn't about your ability or your level of anointing. Or someone that speaks up here on the platform, they would make the best leaders, the best small group leaders. Absolutely nothing to do with it, Joel Comiskey says. It's got everything to do with whether you're just willing, very simply, to say, Jesus, I don't believe I can do this, but with your help, I think I can. And of course, Jesus absolutely prioritized prayer. He was someone that was filled and flooded with the Holy Spirit, and he says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me into prayer. Look, just as I was dependent on my Father in heaven, abide in me, and my word abide in you, and you will bear much fruit. You will be fishers of men, but not in your strength, but in His. Interesting, isn't it? You know, there's a friend of mine, and he was reaching out to a guy at work, and they became good friends. He invited him along here to CCK, and much to his pleasure, he came along, and he met people here at CCK, was introduced to small group life. Fantastic. This particular guy, who I'll keep nameless, also had an addiction to gambling, and there was one particular afternoon where he spent the whole month's salary on one particular afternoon in the betting shop. Unfortunately, the horse or whatever it was didn't win. He lost all of his money. The small group got to hear about it. The whole area got to hear about it. They were praying for this guy's salvation like there's no tomorrow. Do you know what that small group decided to do coming out of prayer? Jesus, make me fishers of men. That small group, along with others connected, they raised together all of the money that that guy lost in his salary and gave it to him as a gift. He was blown away. His heart is now open to the gospel. He comes along to a CCK men's event called Movement and comes along to the small group and Sundays and Alpha, gives his life to Jesus. And amazingly, whereas due to his addiction to gambling, he was had a broken relationship with his, he was separated from his wife and from his children, they were now reunited. And they're living out their lives for Jesus in the most tremendous way. Prayer works. Prayer in action works. Do you know there's some leaders in Shoreham that have been praying just recently for three people to cross the line of faith and to know the same kind of joy that I've been experiencing too, coming to know Jesus. Just recently at their site, at their 7 o'clock service at the Shoreham site, they've not seen three people cross the line of faith, they've seen four. Isn't that amazing? Four people. You know, it says there'll be joy in heaven for one person that comes to know Jesus, but four, that is incredible. They're over the moon. The guys in the small group about this guy reunited with his family, the gospel works. It works. It's the gel that brings everything together. Okay, first reason, prayer. Not about me, it's about him. Second reason for small groups reproducing and multiplying was that the small group leader was willing to set goals for that small group to multiply, a date when that small group would multiply. Now, I could give you lots of different examples across all of the sites of leaders that would say, yes, prayer is my priority, and I do set goals, but I want to beef up these two, Christian and Annika Feiner. They have seen, in their history, five small groups reproduced and become reproducing, multiplying small groups. Now, I asked Christian, why is that? Why is it that your small group has reproduced so many different times? And he said, well, prayer is first. Okay, that's a given. Second was, I sat down with the group. Every time I started to lead a group, right at the start, and I would tell my group, we love you and care for you and want the absolute best for you during our time together. But I want you to know that our time together may well be short, because we want to see Jesus' name lifted, glorified, and multiplied across our city. We would love for this small group to multiply again and again and again. And he set goals for that. And amazingly, they've seen that over five times and seen that kind of growth. Third reason for successful multiplying small groups, we've got prayer, we've got goal setting. The third that Joel Comiskey highlighted was training within the group, the need for apprentices. It's all very well for a small group leader to say, do you know what, I'd love our small group guys to multiply by this date. But if there are no apprentices within their group, there are no leaders coming through, then the group can't multiply. We need training to happen. We need small group leaders to bring in two apprentices, I see in you moment, and deliver training them specifically onto how they lead that group so that then they ultimately can, when that group multiplies, go and do the same. And then multiply that group and it becomes a reproducing group. This is essential. It's all very well setting a date for when we're looking to multiply, but you've got to train two apprentices for that to happen. It's an I see in you moment. You know, I tell you what, I'll lead the group, you watch what I do, and then we'll feedback. And then I'll lead the group again, and I want you to help, and then let's feedback. I tell you what, you lead the group, I'll help you on how to do it, and then we'll feedback again. I tell you what, you lead the group, I'll feedback and won't help this time, and then we'll chat again. I tell you what, you've become so great at it, why don't you just lead the group, get two other apprentices that are trained by you to watch now how you do it so that you can start to train them. Reproducing leaders of leaders again. So there's training. Fourth is because of the evangelistic efforts of the group. Now, I just want to say here that Jonathan and Hannah Dolly, along with a couple of others, top left here, They started a small group with just a handful of them. Jotham Kennington would be another. And it's just recently exponentially grown into something like this, literally over several months. And I asked these guys, why is it that this group has grown? And the reason, of course, is because they see lots of people coming into the group who don't know Jesus. They say it just brings life and soul back into the party again. You know, obviously the Word of God does, the message, the mission of Jesus, but when we're seeing non-Christians coming into our group all the time, it's a vibrancy that you just can't get away from. And I said to them, well, why is it that your group has grown it so exponentially? And they say three things. Guess what? Number one, yeah, it was prayer. All right. Number one was prayer. The second one was that within mission, these guys model and prioritize the blessed model. You know, be praying, listen, eating together, serving people, sharing your story. They are absolutely brilliant at it. And I asked them, what was the third one? And the third one was, we're a team. Just like, you know, Jesus sent out the 12 in twos, and then, you know, the kind of the catch, the huge catch, and the whole community came in. It was like a teamwork. And it's exactly the same here. They say that there are kind of no lone rangers in our team. There are no lone rangers. You see, within a group, sometimes we can think, with regards to evangelism, by reaching people, I've got to do it on my own, and it's really, really hard. But the Jesus model is, no, it's teamwork. We do it together. We do community fishing together. It's so much easier than trying to have one single man with a single rod trying to do it on your own. It's so tough. If you ever try to do that, it's really tough. We need others around us. You know, I need my wife, Mel. You know, in a small group, you know, I can go punneling in with the gospel and be like a bull in a china shop. My wife, Mel, is so much better at the relational side of things, drawing people in, serving, listening. I'm much better at communicating the gospel that would help someone cross the line of faith, give them that final nudge to get there. But I need Mel. If I didn't, then people would come to our small group once and never come back because of Phil Turner. No, we need to be together. We need to be a team working together, doing this together. And lastly, you might be surprised me saying, is having fun. The fifth reason Joel Comiskey highlighted the most successful small groups were that the small groups met together outside of the normal small group night and just had fun together. Don't you just love James Foreman there without the really big beard? He looks great. We should tell him. He looks like someone out of Wham or something, but he looks great. He said to me, Phil, we can be so intense sometimes. We need to chill out, have fun, drink some craft beer, you know, have some nachos or whatever we decide to do, and just enjoy it. It's so much more attractive for unbelievers coming in when they see Christians and not having schlur and quiche and rich tea biscuits. And actually knowing that there is craft beer out there, and it's fun to have it, right? We need to have some fun. I talked about the most successful reasons for small group leaders: prayer life, setting goals, training, evangelistic efforts of the group, meeting outside of the group night, having fun. There could be some reasons that are stopping you from saying, that is not for me. I want to say to you again here this morning, if you are a Christ follower, you're called and saved by the risen Jesus, then you are a leader in the making and this is for you. Maybe the reason why you're saying this isn't for me is because, like Peter, you've been discouraged. I've been working hard all night and I've not seen any results. Can I encourage you here this morning to not to listen to that and to respond like Peter out of worship and obedience to Jesus? Regardless of the results, because you say so, I will do it. You know, our Christian lives are not going to be accounted by how fruitful we've been, but how obedient out of worship to Jesus we've been. Responding to the grace of God, first of all, and responding to what he's asked us to do. That's the call. Not how many people have you led to Jesus, Phil Turner. Well, I've been working hard all night, caught nothing. But because you say so, regardless of the results, I will do it. And you know what? I'll do it until Jesus comes again. And if I don't see one small group reproduce and multiply, if I don't see one person come to Christ, I'll carry on doing it because Jesus says, let the nets down again. I hope I'm saying this strongly enough. Please, do not let past discouragements and lack of results stop you from leading again. That's not the deal. The deal is worship, obedience to Him. For others of you, you know, I've got some, you know, leaders that are coming to me and saying to me, Phil, my problem is that I've got so many people that need to be connected in my area. I've just not got enough small group leaders to go around, 3M small group leaders. In some cases, it may well be that you've kind of got this sidetracked by this project over here, and you've become a little bit like a lone ranger with a fishing rod, one fishing rod over here. Maybe this morning Jesus is saying, come back into the V-shaped formation, come back into the peloton movement, Tour de France cycling. We can go much faster together if we're moving in the same direction together. Maybe it's time to let that project go. You remember earlier I said, sometimes we've just got to die to things in order to see something new happen. For others of you that are saying, I can't do it. But did you hear me loud and strong? Yes, you can. Not on your strength. Empowerment of the Holy Spirit starts with prayer. That means every person in this room, called and chosen by Jesus, you're a leader in the making. And we will love you to be small group leaders and reproducing ones at that, regardless of the results. Even if you don't reproduce, we'd love you to be. Let me encourage you here this morning, from what I've heard, to make one single action. Would you do this for me? I want you to do one single thing, every one of you. I want you to go to somebody that you trust, a leader that you follow, and say, do you see in me a leader? I can't do this without the help of the Holy Spirit. Could you point me in the direction of being trained as an apprentice to be fat so I could become a missional 3M small group leader? Would you help me with that? Would you do that this morning? Every person in this room, we would love you to do that.